Hey there, you've turned into Sorting Pin, the California Cattlemen podcast. Every day at the California Cattlemen's Association, we're sorting through the issues impacting you, California's ranching families and producers. I'm your host and CCA's Director of Communications, Katie Roberti, and this podcast is to discuss those issues, talk about solutions, and keep ranchers and the ranching community current on what's happening in Sacramento and beyond. Tune in every other Monday for a brand new episode, and I hope you enjoy this brand new episode that's about to begin right now. Welcome back to another episode of Sorting Pin. Thanks for joining us. We're here on our final episode of 2023. I can't actually believe we made it this far, but we're on episode 27, so here we go. Hopefully many of you were able to join us in Reno for the annual convention. I know for CCA staff and leadership, it really fills us up for the next year, getting to engage with all of our members, talk about issues and just connect, talk about each other's families and just be face to face. So thank you to everyone who joined us. Hopefully those of you listening that didn't join us get to join us next year. For today's episode, we are still at convention and we just heard the Cattle Facts update and outlook, which is always a crowd favorite at CCA. I know producers really love getting all the graphs and getting them explained to them very well from Cattle Facts analysts. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while now, last summer, we had an episode with Dwayne Lentz from Cattle Facts, and it was actually his final time speaking at CCA. So we talked with Dwayne kind of about his career coming out to give the outlook to California producers in the West. It was a really fun conversation. If you didn't hear it, go back and listen to it. It's so relevant. Today we have Patrick, who we talked about on the podcast with Dwayne. I asked Dwayne, we've been seeing you a long time, who's going to come in your place? And he said, this great guy named Patrick Linnell is going to come. So Patrick just gave us the outlook. He was here last year and he's joining me on the podcast today. So thanks, Patrick.
Well, thanks, Katie. It's a pleasure to be here and really enjoyed being able to come and try to fill Dwayne's shoes. I wish he wouldn't have set such high expectations for me to try to follow up all the great outlooks and information and time he spent with you guys. But it's sure been a pleasure to be here with you all.
You're doing a great job. I know people are really happy and lots of people came up and talked to you after. We had you out for feeder meeting as well. So you're getting pretty acquainted, I think, with some of the producers in California. But for those listening who don't know you, let's just hear a quick little bit about you and how you got to Cattle Facts.
Yeah, you bet. I grew up in northeastern Oregon, just kind of a commercial and cow-calf background there. 4-H, FFA, really involved with both of those. Made my way out to Colorado for college. Did animal science and ag business at Colorado State. Was on the meats and livestock judging teams out there. Rolled that over into a master's in ag economics. And then went on board with Cattle Facts shortly thereafter. Now been here about 6 years.
Great.
And, you know, as part of that, you know, I do have the pleasure of being the analyst for our cow-calf and stalker membership along the West Coast, including California. So pleasure to come here and, you know, see a few more of the faces.
Yeah, we're always happy to have Cattle Facts and happy to have you here. If you've ever attended Cattle Facts or seen an outlook either here or maybe at NCBA's Cattle Con, you know they come full force with tons of slides, tons of graphs. I think you had like over 50 slides in your presentation. So we can't get into everything, but I wanted to do this episode and just talk kind of for those who weren't here and those listening this morning, maybe just some reminders about what they heard. Let's just start out. Any key highlights you want to point out, maybe just for California producers or in general about what everyone else heard?
Yeah, I mean, a few of the key messages, you know, where we kind of started off the conversation, just talking about where we're at in the cattle cycle. Because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you can have all these outside factors that happen, but, you know, it really does come down to where we're at in the cattle cycle with numbers. And obviously drought has been such a big issue, yep. You know, for so many producers throughout the country. Improved in a lot of areas, but some parts of the country still struggling with that. So, you know, one of the things that we talked about is that we continue to see numbers tightening up here and should continue to tighten for the next few years because we really haven't seen that expansion start to take place yet at the cow-calf level as far as enough heifer retention and dropping down the culling rate enough to really start to see numbers rebound. So, you know, just kind of that long tail of this cattle cycle suggests that, you know, we're still looking at several years of tighter numbers ahead, which in general should be favorable for prices.
Yeah, we all know how long it takes to rebuild back herds. It's not like poultry. You can't just get them overnight.
Yeah. It doesn't take it's not an overnight ordeal.
Exactly. Sure. You showed some great slides of the cattle cycle. And I thought you made, it was an interesting point that we don't have that much data. I think you had four different graphs and the last 10 years were substantially different than the other graphs. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, exactly. You know, as far as looking back, you know, these cattle cycles take about 10, sometimes 12 years to play out. So to look back through history, you know, we've kind of looked back at prior cattle cycles to try to understand, you know, which one maybe best fits this one. And, you know, it's important to think back towards the last cycle. We kind of had the discussion that, you know, it was such a V bottom in terms of supplies and a V top in terms of price because, you know, supplies just came back so fast because, you know, the moisture situation got so good and the industry just rebounded numbers so quickly that they came back just more or less with a vengeance. And so obviously everyone remembers, you know, the fall of 15 and into 16, the way the market just moved so sharply lower. And at this point, you know, the way things look to us, it, you know, just some of the headwinds that are out there, it looks like it's likely a slower rebuild when it does occur, which in theory means that prices are kind of at these more elevated levels for longer. And barring outside factors, when prices do move lower, it shouldn't be as sharp as the last cycle.
Which will be nice.
Yeah, which I think, you know, everybody's hopes that that's true, but nobody's willing to completely bet on that at this point.
Yeah.
Understandably so.
Everyone's talking about high prices, but it's almost like no one wants to talk about how long they're going to last. They're historically high. You talked about it in your presentation. How are you guys forecasting cattle prices to look and calf prices specifically to look into 2024? Are they going to stay high? What insights do you have on that?
Yeah, as we look towards 2024, we do anticipate prices kind of across the board, across all classes of cattle, continuing to move higher. On a year-over-year basis, it won't be nearly as sharp of an increase as what we saw to 2023, as what we saw this year.
That'd be crazy.
because that'd just be so astronomically high to and unrealistic to expect that this kind of a surge to keep happening. And certainly that's trying to set aside the break that we've seen here recently. For calf prices, our current forecast would have prices about $20 to $25 per hundred above year-ago levels as we look towards 2024. And also having fat cattle up around $7, $8 per hundred compared to where they'll average here this year. Just with more upside to calves, in particular, as more areas move out of drought, and we do probably see a little bit more heifer attention, and just tightening up that supply of feeder cattle and calves just a little bit more. And we do see, you know, relative to the fed cattle market, kind of a tale of two halves, a little bit more sluggish in the first half of the year because we do have somewhat more adequate supplies and on feed today above year-ago levels. But as we do look towards the second half of next year, starting to see a market that gains some more footing again, especially relative to the fed cattle market.
Is that normal for it to be sluggish in the beginning of the year? Or it depends on the year?
It depends on the year. And certainly, as we're in the uptrend in cycles, it can happen more often where the second half of the year outperforms the first half.
Gotcha.
But certainly, this year in particular, just the way we've kind of pulled forward on the feeder cattle supply and somehow, despite liquidating the cow herd for 4 years, we have, you know, on feed above year ago levels due to some drought forced movement and just not widespread heifer retention yet. So it does set it up to be just a little bit more sluggish here in the first half of the year.
While we're talking about prices, you also talked about third party verifications and kind of the value they're bringing. You had a really great graph on kind of which ones are bringing more value, which ones maybe are just neutral. Anyone that goes to Western Video's market sales or any sales when people sell their cattle, now it's like a list. It's like bullet points of all of the party verifications people are using. I wanted to talk a little bit about the insights you have on that as well. Which ones kind of stand out to you as being super valuable?
The first point I'd make relative to just marketing calves is that we definitely encourage folks to take a little bit of time to just, you know, think about making sure that what you're doing is the strategy that makes the most sense for you. And it's never a one size fits all. I mean, as you just think about the diversity within our industry, right? the video sales, where they do offer a lot of opportunity for people, especially if you're willing to put in the effort for those third-party verified programs and whatnot. Not to mention just, getting those cabs in front of a lot of different buyers.
Yeah.
And taking advantage of some seasonality, staying out of the fall calf run, for instance. But to your original question, what we've continued to see is that over the last few years, specifically, let's just talk about natural premiums. It really does take those third-party verified, the verification to see that premium. And our analysis would show that there's basically no value in selling natural calves, or no added value, that is, in selling natural calves without having that third-party verification. So between natural, GAP, NHTC, the beef care, those kind of programs, really just encourage folks to kind of take a look at those various options that are out there and see which ones work for you.
Yeah, there really are so many. You almost need a whole glossary or dictionary just to know what they all are.
Absolutely.
When you look at them. But I thought that slide was really interesting. You also talked a little bit about specifically what beef cow numbers look like on California and the West Coast. I mean, you did mention at the beginning, you focus on the West Coast. How are they differing from the rest of the country?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Certainly, as you think about the way this drought cycle's played out, the West was hit early in this drought cycle, kind of the West and the North Plains. And then it did shift later in towards the Southern Plains and to somewhat the Southeast. And so being early in the drought cycle from just a price standpoint has certainly seemed like it's helped out the Western states, because now then as the drought moves to the Central Plains, you have drought force movement elsewhere. And we'd already seen somewhat of the liquidation out here. But it is interesting, as you look at the USDA beef cow numbers, as you look at the Western states in total, only down around 100,000 head, which, again, sounds like a lot, but in the context of a beef cow herd that was averages around 30 million over the last 5 years or so, a fairly small change. And it's somewhat surprising that it looks like in a large way, there's just been a lot of cows that are kind of shuffled around between Western states, certainly plenty liquidated and have made their way to slaughter. Can't downplay that at all. But it is just interesting that there looks like there was some shuffling that took place. And in total, California numbers to start this year, down about 15,000 head compared to a year ago, but still well above where they were coming out of the last drought cycle in 2013, 14, 15.
Yeah, that shuffling is interesting. Maybe people were more prepared just coming out of a drought not that long ago and had plans set, or just kind of were able to navigate it better.
Yeah.
But definitely interesting.
Yeah. And have heard comments, about folks that, coming out of the last drought cycle, they've just kind of learned to be able to give themselves a little more leeway.
Yeah.
Whether that's just keeping more hay on hand, or maybe running at a lower stocking density, or integrating stockers to their operation where you can just run less stockers and save the grass for the cows during drought years.
Yeah, that is probably a smart way to manage in California when in the West when drought is always a possibility, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, which seems like about 10 out of 10 years we have some kind of drought in the West.
Yeah, seems like it. We did get lucky last year, blessed, whatever you want to call it, or some people got too much rain, but you talked a lot about how quickly it went from drought to heavy precipitation. So we'll see what happens this winter.
Yeah, we will.
One other thing, moving far away from the West Coast, you kind of joked about forecasting China for exports. China's interesting. Your graph showed sharp incline in China exports. Want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. I mean, as we think about exports in general, export demand does remain very strong, but, tonnage has come off from, year-ago levels and back down, just because we are producing more beef and we have higher prices here domestically, at a very basic level, I guess. But yeah, China in particular, it's amazing the way that's changed over the last few years, going from basically nothing to around 500 million pounds per year. Like I discussed, in the outlook earlier this morning, that's the big question mark as far as where do exports go, is increasing or decreasing? You could make the case where Chinese demand could double we're not forecasting that by any means. But, you know, as you just think about how many people they have over there, sure, and how many pounds per capita they're importing, which is virtually nothing still.
Yeah.
That there could still be more growth potential. But at the same time, just thinking about the geopolitical risks that are out there, and, you know, obviously, you know, things, at least at the surface level, have somewhat improved with Biden and Xi meeting here recently. But obviously, U.S.-China relations are not pristine, and so there's certainly still risks there.
Which makes forecasting hard.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Like I think I said, if you can forecast China, please let me know.
Any other export markets you want to touch on that have changed? I think they all looked pretty much the same as recent outlooks. But anything on exports or anything else that we missed? We're already approaching the end of the time, but
yeah, I mean, just relative to exports, I can't emphasize enough that we still see there's just so much value that that brings to the U.S. cattle industry, just through bringing more buyers for our beef, and a lot of times increasing the demand for the kind of those undervalued cuts that we Americans don't like as much. But yeah, relative to different export markets, again, Japan continues to slow, still strong, and same thing with South Korea. Somewhat competition as Australia has been able to rebuild their cow herd after, you know, their recent drought. So again, they're able to produce more, a little bit more competition. At the same time, we're obviously producing less and our prices are higher. So still some headwinds there relative to exports. But at the end of the day, you know, the U.S. consumer appears to still love our product with the quality, consistency, and safety of our product. And that applies abroad as well.
I'm glad you mentioned that. We've mentioned it before on the podcast, the dollar figure of how important exports are, but always good to repeat.
Exactly. Yeah. Can't downplay it.
I know you get to head up to Oregon to do this all again for the Oregon Cattlemen's Convention. So we're going to let you take off, but I want to thank you for coming out to California, always being available and making time for the podcast as well.
Yeah, absolutely. A pleasure, and really enjoyed being with you all here this week.
And thanks, Patrick. We will probably see you in the spring.
Yeah, sounds great.
Thank you.
Thanks, Katie.
You're welcome.